Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Howard Beck from the Bleacher Report joining us on the show. So it's been an awkward 24 hours for you. Now, can I bring this up on air, Owen? Is this okay? Okay, you did a podcast with Andre Iguodala, and then they traded him. Is there anything in the back of his mind that he knew he was going to get traded?
Great question. Andre and I met in Midtown Manhattan around 2:30, 2:45 yesterday. So it's hours before all the madness has started and many, many hours before the trade to Memphis. And I will say, so Andre's promoting his book, The Sixth Man, and the point of the podcast was mostly to talk to him about the book. And obviously, getting him when I was getting him, I was, you know, I opened by saying, hey, what do you think of free agency? It's coming tonight. Obviously, I'm not going to ask you where you think KD is going, but what about this moment for the Warriors? Obviously, a lot up in the air. And he addressed it in a way that, you know, looking back, you know, last night, as soon as it all happened, I thought, I wonder if he had a feeling. I don't know. But there was a, like, you know, Andre's obviously a really thoughtful individual and somebody who's very rarely at a loss for words. And I did think that when we were talking about the state of the Warriors, the ambiguity about their future and everything, there was something else there, and I didn't know exactly what it was. And I thought maybe it's just because he had just gotten off a plane, too. Like, he's just a little bit off. But maybe he knew. Maybe he knew that they were, that gears were in motion, that something was coming for him, too.
Howard, that's what I was wondering. Howard Beck, Bleacher Report, Full 48 podcast, by the way, is the podcast that Howard is on, where he was so honest during that Breakfast Club interview and talking about how players, veterans hated Steph and all this other stuff, and people were going, well, that got him traded. I'm going, man, that speaks like a guy who probably knows that the end is near, and he's just going to say what's on his mind. And obviously, yeah, he's written a book as well.
But also, I don't think, listen, the Warriors are not the kind of team where somebody says something and we got to trade you. Like, that's not who they are. Like, that's a team that's going to ride out everything, where everybody's accepted and all opinions and all personalities, Draymond, DeMarcus Cousins. Like, they're not the kind of team that would freak out over somebody saying something a little controversial or whatever. Like, they're just used to that. That's who they are. So I don't think there's anything to do with that. I think this is everything to do with the fact that once things crashed and burned, once, you know, Durant goes down with the Achilles and is probably gone in free agency, you know, I'm saying this through the prism of a few weeks ago, once Clay is down for the season, you have to look at your team and say, okay, this was a tough five-year run, a ton of extra games, it's taken a toll, there's no way we're contending next season, Durant's probably gone, even if he were here, he's got, you know, the Achilles rehab. What do we do to reimagine this team? What avenues do we have available to us? Because even if guys leave, we have no cap room. And we don't have a lot in terms of trade assets. What can we possibly do to infuse some new young talent here and reimagine what this team can look like around Steph and eventually a healthy Clay and, for the time being, Draymond Green? And that requires some tough decisions. And I think that the first one was, well, I guess you got to move Iguodala in order to complete this sign and trade for D'Angelo Russell. I don't think this has anything to. I think this is solely a basketball decision on all counts. You could not have gotten D'Angelo Russell without moving Andre Iguodala.
Howard Beck joining us on the hotline. Does that fit even make sense in Golden State? Because obviously they've loved the fact that they could have five guys switch everything on defense, on offense. We know they're not a pick and roll team. I've seen some of the numbers today that D'Angelo Russell almost is exclusively in the pick and roll. Is this a good fit for Golden State?
To be determined, but I will say this. D'Angelo Russell is still young. Last season was a really promising breakthrough for him. I thought he was a good teammate. He, you know, rolled with everything in Brooklyn, including early on. People forget about the early part of the season. He wasn't on the floor in fourth quarters. He wasn't on the floor in crunch time because Spencer Dinwiddie was their best closer, and Kenny Atkinson was going with Dinwiddie over D'Angelo Russell. It was only later in the season, after they'd lost LeVert and after Dinwiddie had gotten a little banged up, that D'Angelo Russell became the D'Angelo Russell we saw, who made the All-Star team as an injury replacement. So one, I think give him some credit for being able to evolve, because in Golden State, yeah, he'll have to evolve more, but let's not pretend or let's not assume he's incapable of doing that. You know, pick and roll is definitely his game. Can he play more in that free-flowing motion offense that Steve Kerr likes to run? We'll see. But I think the Warriors have done a pretty good job over these last several years of integrating guys of various, you know, basketball backgrounds. You know, I think they probably just thought, here's a guy who's available and who's young and who's talented and still growing and can take some of the burden off of Steph Curry. You don't want to fry Steph Curry in a year where they don't have Durant and no Clay, and, you know, all of a sudden you have nobody else who can generate offense. Like, generating offense is really important, and if that means maybe, you know, having a lot of, you know, minutes where D'Angelo's running the show and Steph's off the floor, then you at least can still score without Curry out there.
If I could turn this thing on. Howard Beck joining us on the show. Should Kevin Love be moved, and if so, how can they do so?
I think so. Easy for me to say. I think he should. I just don't think he fits with where they are right now. This team's not going to be very competitive. It's not going to chase the playoff seed. This is a full rebuild. If you can flip Kevin Love for some combination of younger players and picks, I think that the sooner you do that, the better off he is getting to play for something somewhere else, and the better off they are. I don't know what the right fit is. I've not even looked around to see. One of the things I had said all along was I thought that once you see where the free agents go and who's still standing there with cap room at the end holding the bag, that's where to look for a Kevin Love trade, because now you don't have to match salaries. You can trade them into somebody's room, or, you know, and if they don't have the full room, that you can at least lessen the amount of salary matching that you have to do. So, plus, there are teams out there that were counting on getting free agents that didn't get them. That won't be the Knicks, obviously. They just sucked up a bunch of, you know, second and third tier forwards. I think wait another couple of days, see where the market is, see who's still in need of an anchor, scorer, rebounder type, you know, somebody who needs a second, third option, and maybe that's your target for a Kevin Love trade. I still think he'd be phenomenal in Portland. And, you know, they've just lost Al-Farouq Aminu. Maybe there's a deal to be made there.
Do you think that he'll be gone by the end of the summer?
I mean, I hate predicting on stuff like this. My gut says that's what makes the most sense. I don't think it makes much sense to go into the season with him. And I do think there are opportunities this summer, as I say, with teams that still will have cap room after the moratorium ends. And that's when you take, you know, the opportunity to make a move. Or, again, just teams that are looking to move ahead. Because think about it, whether it's Portland or other teams, the Warriors are now, you know, in tatters for the moment. There's an opportunity here, if you're any of those teams in the West, to make a move. We see the Jazz being really aggressive and have done a fantastic job of putting themselves in a position to potentially win the West. And somebody else may look at that and respond and say, you know, let's see if we can find a way to get Kevin Love, whether it's to Portland or, I don't know, Houston. And I'm just throwing more, teams out. I don't have any sense of where this might go, but it makes sense for teams to be looking at him.
Howard Beck with us on the hotline for a few more minutes. We've been debating this all morning, and obviously basketball is not exactly in the good graces of Cleveland fans right this instant. They are not enjoying what's going on, and the fact that, you know, they're part of this rebuild. So was this a good weekend or a bad weekend for basketball in general with all these moves?
I mean, it's the fireworks last night. I don't know if July 4th is going to be able to keep up with June 30th. The NBA had a really good night. You know, now listen, that's always a market by market thing and depends on who you're a fan of, but holy moly, last night, I've never seen it before. I don't think there's ever been anything like this. Not on the first night of free agency, whether it was July 1st in the past or June 30th now. And anything that is got people, you know, talking about the NBA and allowing the NBA to completely, you know, dominate the airwaves, dominate Twitter, is usually a good thing. I don't think it was a great night for Knicks fans, but it was a fun night for NBA fans in general.
Where do you think Kawhi should go? Where would you send him?
I don't think he should leave. I mean, if he does leave, the Clippers, to me, always made the most sense, and I think that's still the case. But you know, it's not for me to say what you know will bring Kawhi Leonard the most happiness. But he did just win a championship with the Toronto Raptors. They, you know, while they do have some aging players in Marc Gasol, Kyle Lowry, Serge Ibaka, you know, there's still another run potentially there to be had, and a really smart organization and a phenomenal fan base. I would think you'd want to defend your championship and stick with a franchise that's, you know, supported you really well. I don't think it's wrong for him to go if he decides to go, but it does seem like that's still the best place for him.
Would you be disappointed if he ended up with the Lakers?
I'd be puzzled if he ended up with the Lakers. You know, listen, we've seen stars join up, you know, several times over in the last 10 years. That is the era we're in. But Kawhi Leonard has not struck me as the kind of guy who wants to go play second fiddle to anybody. And, you know, LeBron and AD, in part because we link them through their agent, it just feels like that's their team now. And Kawhi Leonard would be the third wheel. It's one thing to say, well, you need another star to win. I've said this all along. It's why I justified LeBron leaving Cleveland the first time. You need other all-stars to win, contend for titles. And if you can't get them to where you are, you go find them somewhere else. One, Kawhi Leonard already has a supporting cast that has put him in title contention and helped win him a title. And two, he would be joining, you know, it would be three of the top whatever, top five, top six players on one team. That's a whole new level. And it also requires that much more, you know, awkwardness potentially and sacrifice because, you know, everybody's used to having the ball in their hands a ton. So that one just doesn't seem to make that much sense to me unless LeBron is sending the message, hey, look, I'm turning 35 in December and I'm ready to cede a lot of control. But I don't think LeBron is ready to say that.
Howard, wonderful as always. We'll be listening to the full 48 podcast. We'll be reading you on Bleacher Report. All the best, bud.
Appreciate it, fellas. Always a pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you. Howard Beck on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Not really optimistic about the Cavaliers' future chances. The Kevin Love thing is interesting here. By the end of the summer, he could be gone. Now, I would say that it probably makes a lot of sense what he just said, where you kind of wait for all the dust to settle and see who has the most cap space and then how you can bring something else in. I told you, Portland's those fans out there, they really want to take a swing at Kevin because they're in win-now mode. I don't know how much Kevin can help out that team actually get over the hump because you have to manage his minutes during the season. You know that he's going to be banged up at some point. You just want to make sure it's not a very serious thing because you're going to need him for a playoff run. And I think a couple of injuries to their bigs is what really hampered Portland in that series against Golden State where they really couldn't fill out inside out. It's such an emotional series against Denver. I don't know if they'd be able to do that with Kevin Love in there. Maybe you disagree. I'm not sure. That's just how I feel.
Obviously, when they signed that contract, I never thought that Kevin Love was going to be here. It was going to be used as an asset. People disagreed with me. People said, no, he's going to be a part of the next rebuild. Dan's going to want to win. Dan's going to want to win immediately. I think we have to come to the understanding that, you know, if Kevin Love's the best player in your team, you're never, even in the East, where, you know, things kind of have shifted at times.
You're right.
Now Philadelphia is just absolutely loaded. The Celtics are okay. They're not great. They're okay. We don't know about the Raptors right now. If Kevin Love's your best player, you're not really competing for anything.
Up next, I thought maybe you just were stingy. Turns out maybe we're just saps. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima live on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.